So how did we get here? This is a question I found myself asking a group of friends a couple years ago as we took a road trip down to Georgia. A friend of mine volunteered to be the driver, and another volunteered to be the navigator, which meant I got to volunteer to sit in the back seat and take a nap. Now, after waking from my nap, I noticed that the driver was asking the navigator, you know, what is our next stop? You know, what's our next direction along the route? And the navigator looked at him and said, my phone died, and I forgot my charger. So we were using that phone as our map. We had no idea where to go. We were sure that we missed our exit. So we did what most of us probably have not needed to do in the 21st century. We stopped and we asked for directions. We found a little gas station that was part gas station, part diner, one of those little two-for-ones. And we went on inside and we noticed a couple of things. First, we noticed that the people who were eating some food in that diner did not look like us. And we also noticed, based on how they were talking, that they did not talk like us. They were different. However, when we walked inside that diner gas station, and it was very obvious that we were lost, they showed us kindness and said, how can we help you? We let them know what we were trying to do. They said, oh, you missed that exit. Just turn back a couple of miles. You'll find it and you'll be on your way. So after thanking them, we gassed up our car, picked up a couple of snacks, and got back on the road. But in that entire journey, I kept asking myself, how did we get here? And I feel like in our scripture today, we find Paul asking that same question. He has arrived on the island of Malta and is surrounded by this native people that look and probably sound different than him and the sailors that he was traveling with. Now, in the chapter right before this one, we hear that Paul is a prisoner and is on his way to Rome. But as they are traveling, they have to keep transferring ships as they island hopped across the Mediterranean. Now, as they were traveling, the weather continued to get worse and worse the further along their journey that they went. Eventually, they arrived at a port called Fair Havens. And between Fair Havens and their next destination, there was this huge body of open water that they needed to travel. After judging whether or not they should go, the sailors finally say, you know what, let's go for it. We feel pretty confident that this will be a safe trip. Well, about halfway through, the storm reaches its peak. The sailors are no longer able to tell the difference between day and night because the weather is so bad. People are fearing for their lives and start throwing things overboard just to stay afloat. Now, the storm eventually subsides, but the ship is far off course. The sailors notice a bay with a beach, and they try to head over there just to get their bearings, figure out what is our next stop on this journey. However, their boat hits a reef, and it starts to go down. So they have to hop overboard and swim ashore. And I can just imagine those sailors wondering, how did we get here? So what does Paul do in the midst of this storm and his time on Malta? First, Paul listens for God. We hear in the previous chapter that Paul stands among the sailors and says to them, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete in the first place, and thereby avoided this damage and loss. However, I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. In the midst of this storm of loss, of not being able to tell day from night, Paul first listens to God. And Paul keeps courage. I would imagine that it would be terrifying to feel like you are about to capsize, that you are lost, and you do not know where you are going. But Paul reminds us to keep that courage. Paul also listens to the locals. even though they believed in things a little bit differently than Paul does, Paul doesn't actually correct them on their understanding of God. Again, in our scripture today, we hear that the locals were expecting that snake, that viper that bit Paul, to kill him. He swelled up or dropped dead, but after waiting a long time, they saw that nothing unusual had happened to him, and then they even changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Now, Paul does not say, whoa, I'm not a god. Have you met Jesus? Let me tell you about him. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our risen Savior. Paul doesn't do that. Paul continues to get to know the people, and an opportunity arises later on when the father of one of the leaders of that area, Publius, comes up to him and says, hey, my father is sick. Can you help? Paul goes there and prays to God and is then able to heal that man. Paul prays to God, and then God is able to act through Paul, through the gifts and graces that Paul already has. And in so doing, more and more people come to Paul for healing, and I would imagine through that conversation and through just interacting with one another, Paul learns more about that native people, and they get to learn more about Paul and the God that Paul worships. And eventually, Paul and the sailors leave this unexpected place. Our scripture closes by the line that when we were about to sail, they put on board all of the provisions that we needed. Paul listens. Paul has courage. Paul prays. And eventually that season passes. So what does all of this say about God? I think it's important to note, first, what it does not say about God. At no point in our passage this morning does it say that God is the one that caused the storm to send Paul to Malta in the first place. God is not a puppet master who controls the weather, controls the events in the world, either because God enjoys that, that's not the God that we believe in, nor is God seeking to be glorified by causing a disaster so that someone who believes in God can then go and save the day. That is not the God that Paul believes in, and that is not the God that we worship today. God is with Paul and these people in their unexpected places. God is present with them. Earlier in our service, we sang Stand By Me, and that song is from our perspective. When we are going through the storms in our lives, we are asking God to stand by us. But if we were to reimagine this hymn slightly from God's perspective, I think that it might sound something like this, that when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. And when the world is tossing you like a ship upon the sea, I am who rulest wind and water, so stand by me. Now, we also learn that God's love can be shared to new people through the gifts and graces that we already have. Again, Paul is notoriously known as an evangelizer, as someone who wants to spread the news about Christ. And in almost every other situation, the way that he does that is through spoken word and written word, tries to communicate that way about the God that he knows. But we do not see that in our situation today. Paul first gets to know the local people, and when there was a need that Paul's gifts were able to meet, God is able to work through Paul to share God's love with those new people. Now, I wonder, what are our unexpected places today? Again, maybe it's a road trip, and we get lost, and we wonder, how did we get here? Maybe some of us have a new job coming up, or have just started a new job, and as we are learning the ropes and getting into this new situation, we might be wondering, how did we get here? Some of us will be moving soon, and when we go into these new, unexpected places and are meeting brand new people for the first time, or if we have moved and this is our new, unexpected place, there may come a time when we ask, how did we get here? Some of us have graduated or will be graduating soon. And for the past couple of years, we have known what we were going to do with our lives. We were ready to go. But there will come a time when we ask, how did we get here? When an illness comes up and you go to the hospital thinking, I just have a pain in my side, it's not a big deal. But the doctor says, you know what? You can't go. It turns out you have cancer. And we ask ourselves, how did we get here? Or if we go to a concert thinking we're going to have a fantastic time, and as we are leaving that concert, a bomb goes off and kills people around us and injures many more, we may find ourselves asking, how did we get here? So when we come to those moments, how are we going to respond? Will we be like Paul, by listening to God, keeping our courage, and praying to God, knowing that at some point in time, this unexpected place, this unexpected journey is going to change again? I think that if we try to be like Paul, we may find ourselves being reminded of that hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We may feel that there is a joy divine and a fellowship when we lean on those everlasting arms, that there is a blessedness and a peace of mind when we lean on those everlasting arms. But we also have a choice to respond like the sailors did, panicked when we cannot see the light of day or the stars at night in our lives. And we may think, we know what to do. Let's just throw things overboard. Maybe if we hop off, we can save ourselves. We'll figure it out. That's a choice. How will we respond when we come to those moments? And regardless of that choice, we must remember that God is with us in the midst of those storms. It is in the midst of those unexpected journeys that we should lean on God. God can share God's love and graces through us if we are open, and God will be with us when that time ends and a new season begins. As we close our time together today, I'm going to ask you to go along with me for a little bit. We're going to do something a little different. We normally close in prayer, but I ask that you close your eyes and we enter a time of meditation. I'm going to share some words with you, and I would like you to just listen for God's voice in the midst of this hymn. That you try to hear that still and quiet voice of God and try to figure out how you would respond when you get to your next unexpected place. Will you meditate with me? Where God leads me, I will follow. Where God leads me, I will follow. Where God leads me, I will follow, and I will go with him. With him all the way. I can hear my Savior calling, and I will go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the judgment, and I will go with him all the way. And he will give us grace and glory. He will give us grace and glory. God will give us grace and glory and go with us all the way.